Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome, everybody. So great to have you listening to the Dave Holly Hour. My name is Dave Holly. If you're listening for the first time, this is a show concerning arts and entertainment in the Sioux Empire, which is the greater Sioux Falls, South Dakota area. We extend it out a little regionally and so forth, but we love to talk passionately about arts and entertainment, and boy, do we have passion coming your way today in terms of the visual arts with a great artist, art gallery owner. He also has an audiovisual company. He is a smart cookie, and he is a cook. Yeah, well, Jerry Cook. He is the owner of Rayfeld's Art and Framing in downtown Sioux Falls. We will talk to him about Rayfeld's. We'll talk to him about art in general, what moves people, and what's so great about this community and its local arts and entertainment scene. But before we get to that, regrettably, I have to pass along some sad news. This was just posted on Facebook yesterday. The Bear Botkins Theater Company posting, "Hello, Shakespeare fans. An update, finally. After lots of productive and thoughtful conversation with our parents, or our partners, we should say, at Sioux Falls Parks and Recreation, we have made the decision to cancel our 2020 production of Much Ado About Nothing. While we will miss seeing you at Falls Park for the first time in 23 years, we know that this is the right decision to protect the health and safety of our treasured audience and company members. Thank you for your patience with us as we've worked this out, and thank you for your continued support. Stay safe and well, and we will look forward to seeing you all in 2021. Gonna miss that. It's a fun time. Even if you're not a huge Shakespeare fan, they put this into such a great context, and they do it outdoors in the way that the Shakespeare companies used to have to do so. And people playing multiple parts and so forth. It was the one college play that I was in as a freshman. It by itself is a great play. It's one that many great actors of our time have redone and have been in. And the thing about Shakespeare that you find quite often is that it can be modernized to current times so easily, or just made in kind of a non-time situation. And they do it outdoors in the ruins of the old Queen Bee Mill at Falls Park. And that's going to be missed this year. I respect the decision. Ironically, things are kind of opening up for people around here, as the city of Sioux Falls has now lifted its no mingling restrictions that it had. So basically, things are going back to normal in many ways for bars, restaurants, parks, etc. But people are pretty good about it so far. They've been paying attention, using their own good judgment. People are staying 6 feet apart. I voted earlier this week, had to stay 6 feet apart for that. So things are on the mend, but still, you be safe. You make your own good, conscientious decision as to whether you should be out and about or not. In the meantime, yes, I will be. It's finally gonna happen. We did virtual trivia for a few months for the Sky Lounge, but the Dave Holly Hour presents live from the Sky Lounge at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, June 6, 2020. It's general knowledge trivia. Some fun times ahead of us as we get back to the Sky to do that. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too. All right. If you're a first-time listener, another thing that we always do is we give out a little shout-out to somebody or something special that's made me smile, laugh, guffaw, maybe even had a little tear, you know, a nice little happy, joyful tear. And I've given it, you know, to family members before. I've given it to friends, and I've given it to my mom one time when it was her birthday week and so, or excuse me, Mother's Day week. But this time, it goes to the city of Sioux Falls and the mother of all mothers, Mother Nature. Honorable mention. Thank you, city of Sioux Falls, by lifting the no mingling. My wife and I, throughout the pandemic, had been doing parking lot picnics. We love to picnic in all of our city parks, not in all of our city parking lots, but we had gone to parking lots within parks and, you know, grab something on the way, and that would be our weekly picnic. But Sunday, we finally got to have an actual in the park, sitting in a park, at a picnic table picnic. And it was a beautiful day, and a lot of other people were taking advantage of being in Falls Park that day, too. So that, for that, City of Sioux Falls and Mother Nature, you receive this week's honorable mention. Okay, we are going to get back to talking arts and entertainment in just a moment when we're joined by Jerry Cook from Rayfeld's Art and Framing.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
It's another Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversation on the Dave Holly Hour.
Happy weekend eve, everybody. Thursday's around once again. We're heading into the weekend, and we are excited because a lot more things are opening up. People are being able to get outside to go downtown. Well, we're going to talk about being downtown and taking in the arts, literally taking it in. And you know what? If you want to buy some too, Jerry Cook is not going to be upset with that. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Excellent.
Great to see your face and hear your voice.
Likewise, yes. And you've opened up, well, I shouldn't say opened up. You took over. You purchased Rayfeld's Art and Framing in the middle of November. You took over, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
What's the whole vibe been like? Well, let's take it in a couple of stages, really. What was it like up to COVID? What's it been during, and where are you hoping everything's going again?
Crazy, 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 crazy. That's a short answer.
All right.
The more detailed, I guess, is so the whole purchasing happened fairly quick, like literally mm-hmm. over about a week or two. So it was a kind of mad dash. Worked with Larry Rayfeld, and he was this great guy. You know, it was a great transition. He stayed on through basically the end of the year to kind of help transition the company and kind of get me up to speed a little more, even though I was, you know, intimately familiar with the company already. But, you know, there's obviously when you're there as an artist versus there as an owner, kind of different gig, right? So he was great through that whole process. And Matt Jorgensen, who also owned it before, is a good friend of mine. So, you know, I had kind of a couple people helping guide the ship, and the staff is just amazing. So, I mean, it went very, very well. You know, so November was great, kind of trying to get in the swing of things. We really had a great November, December from a sales and revenue perspective. You know, things were going awesome. Got into January and February, and you know, things slowed down a little bit. That's kind of the retail gig,
exactly.
Right? So, you know, it as much as I would like to say, or anybody would like to say, you just want the business to like take off and go. But you know, I was trying to navigate a 36-year-old ship that you know, you want to keep the legacy alive, you want to continue, you know, doing everything that it was doing, and then all of a sudden, slowly make some changes. And I own another company, a technology company, so. The whole goal there was to not really integrate the two companies, but mostly integrate myself. So as I'm out talking to a technology company, I can bring in the potential of artwork sales or framing sales. As I'm talking to someone about framing sales or artwork sales, we can kind of, you know, one thing that's really cool about Sioux Falls is we're a big enough community to have lots of opportunity. but we're small enough where getting your foot in the door is still a, you know, I don't want to say like a good old boys network, but it's kind of a still a who you know. It's the relationships mm-hmm. that you build. So, you know, I'm fortunate to have very good relationships with a lot of people in the area. And so it's like, if you get the door cracked for one thing, that's your in. And if you can throw more things on the table to offer, it's better off, you know? So once you're in the door, if you have more things to pursue and to offer, just kind of, so they kind of help build on each other. And then the Rayfeld staff too, with some of the custom framing work and kind of the intricate detail work that they do, helps out on my audio video company when we do things like conference room, you know, acoustics and stuff like that. And so there's some intermeshing between the two. So that's a very long dissertation on your question. But so November, December, we're really good. January, February, you know, we started to see kind of a tail off, but then some of the things I was trying to implement and working with the team were starting to come through. We were really trying to focus on working more with interior designers because there's a lot of money in Sioux Falls and there's a lot of people that have capacity to buy artwork, but they don't have time to come out and shop for it. Well, guess what? They're our conduit. And through my audio video company, I know a fair bit of designers. So, you know, some of that stuff was starting to unfold. And so the end of February, things were starting to pick up and you're like, yes, okay, rocking, right? The arrow might be hitting the target here. First part of March, same thing, like the backlog of materials were coming. We do a, you know, fair bit with like the local hospitals and some bigger companies. And so, you know, we were starting to get orders that were delayed. I mean, not delayed, but scheduled for the rest of the year. So starting to get some of those clients back, feeling good about it. Second week of, you know, March comes around and this is start to hear some rumors of obviously we were hearing rumors of COVID, but not necessarily so much as a like a direct impact in South Dakota.
Or that it was going to be hitting so hard.
Exactly. And then basically after that, the tap shut off. You know, people stopped coming in. And obviously around here, you know, the mayor took some pretty good steps and helped guide us through that stuff. And so we, you know, talked as a team and really felt it was a responsible thing to do to basically shut the gallery down. And the framing shop down to help make sure that our staff and really the community as a whole doesn't, we didn't want to contribute negatively to the situation. So essentially you go from doing good to slowing down January, February to picking back up to basically just, you know, business dropped off the cliff. So, and then after that, it's really been, I don't even know really honestly what to tell you, what to say, other than it has been the craziest, most exhilarating, and I don't know how you properly say getting hit in the head with a hammer every day, but just I could say the words that I want to say, but I probably gotta keep it clean.
It's a podcast, not radio, so we do have a little leeway.
Well, I got the shit kicked out of me for many weeks and months, to be honest with you. And I don't want to go into like intense details because there's things that happen in business that you don't want to, but it's been a butt puckering education, let's put it that way. I mean, the reality is, like, over the past 2 months or so, I would wake up in the morning and think, okay, well, Rayfeld is done. It's done forever, or for at least my iteration of it, to the next day or 2 days later going, all right,
we survived the past couple of days.
Yes. Yeah. You know, so it's just this, I kind of felt bipolarish for a lot of times. You're just swinging back and forth between manic depressive, manic. And then on top of it, my other company, you know, which I founded in 2002. So that thing was, you know, it's a little more of a, some of the technology stuff we do stuff for, you know, some hospitals and like the city government here and other city governments, you know, energy companies, as well as people's homes, but it's mostly kind of mid to higher end stuff. So it's, you know, doctors and attorneys. Well, if we've got technology in their home or their business that they're using to talk to other clients or patients or city, you know, emergency operations center, we're kind of an essential business. So, I mean, it's, you know, we saw a little bit of a slowdown there, But we've been working every day, just trying to be super, you know, smart and safe about what we're doing. So I had these sort of two polar opposite things pulling me apart. One thing that's like, it needs attention, but it needs attention on the normal level that it does because we're trucking along. And I'm worried about the longevity of COVID. And one of the things I always talk about is momentum, right? Like if the momentum of the business breaks for more than about a month or two, you really start to suffer because that momentum is hard to pick back up. And then on the Rehfeld side, it was just like getting smacked around in the cage with Mike Tyson for a while. You're running going, all right, I'm doing awesome. And then you just,
who is Mighty Mo? Yeah. There's no momentum.
It just whacks you on your butt, you know? So it's, I'll be honest, man, it's been one of the most intense periods of my life. And I've gone through some stuff that has been pretty intense. And it's, I don't know. Just one day at a time.
So as people are making their way back into the gallery, what's the vibe you're getting? They coming back in because they want to support local, or is it because they're wanting to support local artists, or they just want to come in and take a look and see good things?
It's really, I think, all of the above. I mean, and kind of going back to, you know, what I said before about Sioux Falls being a big community yet small and very, you know, we obviously have a lot of things going on where people are internet shopping, et cetera, all that stuff. I mean, you know, I don't know if we'll ever stop that or what. And there's important parts of that. But, you know, I think the people that are Sioux Falls focused, small business focused, super excited to come back in. And I mean, we've had some great artwork sales, you know, people come in like, hey, I need boom, 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 these things. And so, I mean, this particular month of reopening has been a great revenue month. You know, we've got some struggles with staff availability and how work can get done. And some of the building was also being renovated. So it's just it sort of
a lot of irons in the fire. That's
exactly.
For sure.
I always, when I talk to people about it, I always talk about owning a business to me is like trying to play a three-dimensional chess match. Well, you throw in two businesses and you throw in my own artwork and my own personal life and COVID and now all the stuff in the last, you know, a few weeks or a couple weeks, week it's been of, you know, protests and potential riots. And it's like, okay, get out another three-dimensional chess match board and another one and another one. So it's just like, you know, from one perspective, and this might sound really weird, but it's kind of been fun trying to navigate that all and not blow up like all the ships. On the other hand, you're like, oh man, I'm just exhausted. It's, you know, it's been pretty intense. So,
but there's also silver linings come along with things like this. And, yeah. And I think one of them is going to be that we're going to have more of a focus on local again. Which is fantastic because it's something that I love to push. I also think we're going to see arts and entertainment come back. It's going to take a while, but it's going to be even stronger. And I also just get a feeling that, you know, we've all learned so many different things. And like a previous guest had said, you know, this has been tough. But if there's ever something that comes along like this again, we know what to do.
Right.
Yeah. So there's right. There's that learning experience. But aside from that, what's been the learning experience of being the owner of a gallery instead of going in there showing off your stuff?
You know, I guess for me, and hopefully this doesn't come off as arrogant, but, you know, I already owned another business. So I get that whole side of it. The Rehfeld's the company, you know, outside of the fact that I think it's an amazing company and it's super cool. I, you know, obviously, you know, I have a huge love for art itself in many different forms, and framing, custom framing is an art form in itself. It's craftsmanship.
You took the words right out of my mouth on that one. I was just about to chime in because, in fact, I was going to ask you a really intriguing question tonight, but I'll let you continue first.
So, you know, it's so from the business side of things, it is different and you could argue completely different than my other company. But at the end of the day, you know, most companies are, you take some sort of a raw material in one door and you manipulate it and you ship a widget out the other side, right? And so for you, your raw materials are your amazing voice and your awesome personality and your and your great, you know, interviewing. But I mean, that's your raw materials. And then you've got this, which is our production house of talking. Then you're going to go manipulate it. And then the widget you kick out the other side of the door is the finalized podcast, where hopefully you make me sound better and smarter. So
you already do that well.
So, you know, any company is really set up that way. I don't care if it's a bank. I don't care if it's a, you know, what you'd consider a traditional manufacturing facility, an art gallery, you know, an audio video thing. You know, we're sitting in Wood Grain Brewery right now. I mean, it's, you know, they take raw materials in, do some stuff to it and kick widgets out the other side. So, you know, huge differences, but the fundamental is in and out, in and out, mm-hmm. in and out, in and out. And the artwork, my brain is always in two sides of things. There's the cool creative side, which like is a huge de-stressor to me. And then there's my crazy desire to be like hyper technical and figure out everything and make the thing do the thing that nobody else can make it do.
And do it faster.
it's probably, I would say the hardest thing about it, I think, is I've got to try to stay focused on the things that I like. I have to not push what I want as artwork. My AV company, I can make the rules and regulations, because if you come to me and say, hey, I want this thing to do that, I go, here's how we're going to do it. And we're going to do it this way because it has to be repeatable and it has to be reliable. Well, if you come in and you love a specific type of artwork that is maybe not my favorite, well, I can't interject with that, because it's a totally different,
the subjectivity of the person that wants the art.
Exactly. So it's a different widget that we're kicking out. It's a feeling, it's an emotion, it's an attachment to a piece that it's not there like it is when you go buy a audio video system or whatever. So, and then on the framing side of the house, that's, you know, it's still craftsmanship, artistic, but in a completely different manner. So Rayfeld's as its own company is really, it's got some bipolar issues on its own. You know what I mean? It's trying to do multiple things, but I think that's cool. You know, I think it's really cool. So, I don't know. I mean, there's struggles with it. There's struggles I anticipated. And then again, at the end of the day, man, I get to walk in there sometimes and I'll go in there at 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night and I'll just stay in the gallery and go, wow,
it's cool
super
stuff,
cool.
Yeah.
It's super cool. You know, so, and one of the big things, I mean, you know, talking about COVID and everything that's going on now, I mean, I think most people that I know are sort of hitting the reset button on their life, right? Like you were talking before, like, hey, this is a big thing and hopefully there's silver linings and we learn, et cetera, et cetera. And so one of the things with the gallery, which this is, you know, the first public thing that I'm doing to kind of let people know, we're in the process of trying to find a different building. So, you know, Rayfeld, which is heartbreaking on one
right.
aspect, because Rayfeld's is Rayfeld's and it's been there for ever.
In downtown.
And so my goal is to, with COVID, you know, with business kind of, you know, shutting off, and obviously we've got some help from PPP and stuff like that, you know, some funding coming in, but I really have to take a business proactive step measure and try to find a facility that still meets all the requirements, preferably downtown, because that's where, you know, I mean, that's the art and cool community and that's where you want to be. And I love the scene and I love all the other business. You know, I was sitting at Crawford's with my buddy David kind of helping him out the last couple nights, and we're all texting and back and forth, a few of us, you know. And so it's just a great community and great vibe, but ultimately if you take it, you know, down to the business side of it, it just needs some flexibility. And, you know, downtown's very expensive. I mean, that spot that it's in is a big building, mm-hmm. and we occupy a lot of space, but we're going to have to pare it down a little bit, be proactive, and still try to, you know, my goal with Rayfield's and Buy-In was not to make money or a ton of money off it. It was just to, like, I love what it does for Sioux Falls, and Sioux Falls community loves what it does for it. And that's the goal. And really, it's the staff as well. So long-winded, but the whole thing is there's lots of changes there, and that's the whole thing, you know. So if there's any silver lining to it, if I can pull off a great building downtown somewhere and we can, you know, lower the monthly expenses of the building without negatively impacting the revenue side of it,
or the art community itself,
or the art community itself, which is a big, like, man, I can't tell you how many nights I've laid awake just like, can't do it, have to do it, can't do it, have to do it. Oh man, this is, you know, it's again, kind of the, I hate to use that word, but like, just, you know, stuff is banging around your head like crazy. So it's, yeah, I mean, I had a couple leads on buildings that would be really cool, and those fell through. So I'm actively looking. So actually, if anybody's got anything.
Realtors. So, current business owners.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, but you're right. I mean, that's, you know, the, when I took it over, I really felt that I was in a position where I could help keep it here for many years to come. And, you know, outside of the dip down in January, February, which again, you know, was expected, like the COVID thing just pulled the blanket out from underneath it. And, you know, honestly, all of us, the staff and myself, we're just trying to pick up the pieces as best we can. So that probably doesn't sound very proactive, but it's about as proactive as I can be. I mean, you're just dealing with the cards that are dealt every single day, you know. So on a good side, we've got staff back. I've got a couple that I've lost. So we're in the process of looking for a general manager. We're in the process of looking for a building. But the whole thing is like, hey, how can we make sure this thing stays viable for the staff, myself, and the Sioux Falls community? And plus it's a great gallery for, you know, we represent, you know, 25 local artists or regional artists. And, you know, it's going to break my heart if they don't have a place to show. So.
And you've been in the process, not only of that, you know, having the local and regional artists for show, but also, from my understanding, you've been helping out quite a few too. In terms of kind of getting their wings under them and so forth, and just making sure that everybody's on, you know, try to do their best and really become an artist. Because, you know, there's one thing that too few people know. More and more people are knowing it, but there are too few people in this community that don't realize we have a lot of artists and entertainers that this is their living.
Right.
And so this was a tough time for them too.
Right.
And for all of us to find ways to support them, we really need to give a push, don't we?
Yeah. And, you know, so multiple things are, hopefully I kind of, sometimes I lose track of what I'm trying to talk because I'm getting old, you know, so, but, you know, with that, the, you know, the question of trying to help artists out, you know, I do a lot of, personally and professionally through both companies, do a lot of charity work and just try to, you know, I have business mentors and friendship mentors, and I try to, you know, if I feel that I can glean or give information to someone else that will help them out, I want to do that. And art in general, whether that's music, whether that's, you know, art like we're talking for Rayfield's, or, you know, brewing beer is an art form. I think in general, you know, everybody says pursue your passion, right? Okay, well, that's awesome. I would love to be an artist who I could make the income I want just doing artwork. Like, that would be amazing. Right now, I'm not there. Will I ever get there? Heck, I don't know. I have no idea. But, you know, keep going.
Exactly.
So, but with that, you have to, you know, I know some amazing musicians and who, you know, sit at their house and play. That's awesome. If that is fulfilling to you and that's what you want to do, that's perfect. But if you sit at your house and play and don't bust your balls to go out and make connections and play, out in front of people and find the gig that gets you the next gig that gets you the next gig, you ain't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have the right to bitch about it, you know? So the thing is, like, that's where sort of the business side comes in. It's like, hey, you can be the most artistic person in whatever thing you're good at, but if it never gets out of your house or your whatever apartment, whatever, you're not going anywhere. You can be the best mover and shaker in the world without a product or a widget, and you're not going anywhere. You know what I mean? So it's a hard mix of all that stuff where I kind of tell people, it's like when you're involved in business sales, when you're involved in artwork, it's kind of like walking in a room and ripping your clothes off, you know? So I remember my very first art showing at the Sioux Falls Arts Council. I was selected as one of the feature artists when they first opened up their gallery. Oh man, what a nerve-wracking experience. And I've played in bands before. I've spoken, you know, in public. I've done presentations for business, all this other stuff. But you want to talk about feeling like you're standing in a room with no clothes on because you're out there. And you know, my artwork and most people's artwork isn't for everybody. And so, you know, you are out there strutting your stuff and just basically saying, here I am.
Take a look.
Point out every flaw. You know what I mean? So it's incredibly, incredibly exhilarating, but also incredibly humbling. And kind of detour from that. But one of the first times that I had somebody who really connected with one of my pieces and grabbed me aside, and she's like, hey, this piece speaks to me, and this is what I see in it, and it mimics my life. And it happened to be, I do, you know, sculptural, textural stuff, and it kind of, to her, looked like a tree growing up, and this branch is when, you know, I was born, or this bad thing happened, and this, it grew into this. And I was just like, oh my gosh. You know, it just stopped me in my tracks. And I'm kind of an emotional guy, so, you know, I had tears coming down. I'm like, wow. You know, I mean, like, I thought it was a cool piece and I love it, but when somebody connects with it on that type of emotional level, you're just like, okay, that's cool. And it's kind of like that for people that write songs. You know, there's a million people who can write amazing songs, but if you get it right, people connect with it. And that's a heart and a mind and a soul thing, man. And it's incredible.
All right, we're going to have more with Jerry Cook on the Dave Holly Hour coming up in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
Once upon a time, a broadcaster and columnist. Now, a podcaster and blogger. Either way, the mirth and merriment continue with Dave Holly.
Welcome back. We are having such a great time here today. Jerry Cook is with us on the Dave Holly Hour and talking about Rayfeld's art and framing, but we're going to talk, you know, a little bit more art in general here in just a moment and what the Sioux Falls arts scene is really all about. Maybe some things you don't even think about, because art can be found pretty well in anything. In fact, earlier you were talking about framing mm-hmm. being art. And when you said that, I immediately thought, you know, did Da Vinci, did Renoir, did Van Dyck, did any of these guys have people that were framing for them? Or were they just doing the canvas and then somebody else made it even more art, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, and you know, you look at some of those pieces and, you know, I've been to a fair bit of art galleries, but I you know, with... I guess, you know, I did artwork in high school and kind of got out of it for a while. Not that I didn't appreciate it, but like, you know, you're young, you're kind of going for it business wise. So it wasn't the prime thing that I spent time on, even like vacationing and stuff like that. But in the past, I'd say 10 years or so, I would make it a point to go to galleries and just sort of take it all in. And that is a beautiful point you just made, because you go see some of these pieces that, you know, one, it's amazing to walk into a gallery and see something that's done in 1400 right. or 50, and like, oh my gosh, it's mind-boggling.
And survived.
Yeah, it survived. And you look at like the technique and what they're able to do. And then you think about, hey, it's 2020 and we have all this technology and we can make stuff, right? Paints and
3D printing.
All these. And like to make an amazing piece like that hundreds of years ago that has stood the test of time and looks phenomenal, just it's mind-boggling. So it kind of go into that like technology side of it. But my point there is that, yeah, I mean, the canvas piece itself is amazing, but then you have, which would have been a hand carved frame and hand finished with, you know, some of them are gold leafed or silver leafed or whatever patina is on it. And you're just like, that in itself, like you said, is a whole nother thing, you know? So man, you know, another kind of twist on artwork is on the technology side. My other company, we do audio and video systems for commercial installations and residential installations. And, you know, when you talk about Sioux Falls, like you talked about, there's amazing artists here. There's amazing musicians here. There's amazing craftspeople in Sioux Falls. I mean, I've been in homes and businesses that would blow away what you see in architectural magazines. I mean, they're Sioux Falls is, and I know the word is overused a little bit, but very blessed with a lot of really, really amazing craftspeople in a lot of different areas. And it's pretty incredible when you walk into a house and you see framing of like a doorway that's going arcing in one direction and arcing round, and you're like, the seams, I mean, it's phenomenal. So there's a lot of artwork and all that stuff. And, you know, back to your point about, you know, back in the day, I mean, there had to be people that specialized only in that. You know, was it maybe a craftsperson who made furniture, high-end furniture, and also did that as a subset? I don't know. I mean, I guess
it'd be a great art history.
It would be
thesis.
Great. I'll bet somebody in Sioux Falls knows.
Probably. We'll have to look that up.
Right.
At what point was it, you know, you said you had done some artwork in high school and so forth, but at what point did you go, you know what, Jerry, you're an artist?
Good question. So I would say about 6-7 years ago, I was in a relationship with a gal who, she's an amazing artist at Rayfeld's now, and her dad actually passed away from cancer. And so we were living together, and we'd come home and like she needed an outlet, and she's Augie trained, an amazing artist. And I'm like, all right. So my basement at home has a big kind of open cinema, living room, bar area, and just like took all that crap.
I mean, out she goes.
We moved everything around. So basically, like, you know, we'd fire up the cinema, sit down there and listen to concerts or watch movies or just music, and like, you know, got her going on tons of canvas because she's very, very talented. But it had also kind of, you know, life catches up. You got kids and jobs and all this other stuff. So making time for it and just like, hey, go make stuff. Well, then me, the dork I am, I can't just sit back and watch, you know? So I got back into really just experimenting with textures and materials. And so a lot of my stuff has wood or metal or automotive paint on it. So a lot of my stuff is a lot of my hobbies all linked together. Like I love wood. I just love going to see a beautiful piece of furniture or whatever. There's so much craftsmanship there. So to take like, I just sold a piece to Market Beat in Sioux Falls here, open up a new art office. It's got East Indian rosewood in it. Like it's just a beautiful wood. And I'm also a guitar geek. So a lot of guitars, higher end guitars, and you've got these beautiful woods, beautiful finishes. So my stuff, I'm trying to combine the awesome automobile with the beautiful wood, with the completely screwed up metal. And like, how can I mash stuff together that doesn't look like it should go together, but make it actually work, at least in my brain? And if it works in my brain, it'll work in at least one other person's brain, you know? So that's my goal. Make something that one other person appreciates, and that's it. That's all you need, you know?
That's so. Very true. But, you know, and I'm going to go back to that when you talked about that time for the South Dakota Arts Council, mm-hmm. and somebody was really moved by one of your pieces. That also made me think of, you know, art is probably one of the situations where, in terms of an actual job, there aren't that many art critics. But it's probably the one thing where everybody truly is a critic because it's so for subjective.
Sure. For sure. And you know, and I think I kind of relate things back to certain things because I think they make sense to people. Music is a great example. Every single person is a music critic, right? You, Dave, like what you like because it's what you like. So you are critiquing everything every single time you listen to it. Now, are you a paid professional who writes for Rolling Stone or name whatever other? No,
just a consumer that goes out and buys a CD, or at least now you download right. something on Apple.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I think in a lot of ways, like everybody's an architect critic. Everybody is a critic of you know, beer, whatever the deal is. So obviously you have people that are specialized who have more tools or experience or whatever you want to call it, who can probably get to that upper echelon, peak of the mountain, who become like a paid critic of whatever it is, or a paid expert, or a paid whatever. But realistically, I think everybody is a critic of everything that they do anyway, because you're trying to find out your own taste. Now, you know, for me, for music, for art, whatever, I've changed and ebbed and flowed and accepted things in that I didn't think I would like. And it's because people might say, you know, I might go to your house or whatever, and you go, hey, listen to this awesome song. And I go, that's country music, man. I can't do it. And
so my wife invited you over.
So, but you know, I think you find what you like, you take in information from others, advice from others, but at the end of the day, it's still your decision to, does it hit you in the heart? Does it hit you in the brain? Does it hit you in your soul? Right. And if it does, then you're your own critic, you know? So, but around here, there's not, you know, I Sioux Falls, I think, is still also a small enough community where it would be pretty difficult to have, not that you can be paid to do those things, but if you're really trying to make it like your only gig, I just feel we're going to get there. We're getting there. Mm-hmm. Our city's growing. It's the momentum is awesome. It feels great. We're just not at that point yet, you know, in my opinion. But you see a lot of great things. I mean, from a music perspective, you know, we've got lots of great bars and restaurants that have live music that's coming back. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got the Premier Center that's got, you know, I mean, we get some amazing bands in there. Hopefully we can get back to having stuff there again, because that's a huge gem for us to have here. So, you know, I think we are doing a good job of having multiple ends of the spectrum. And I was listening to your I don't remember what episode it was, but you were talking about a house band. So there's a band, there's right. a
H2O yeah, is H2O. The house band yeah. that Books and Brews.
Yeah. So, you know, I was like, that is a huge statement. Yeah. That's a really cool deal. Our little town's all getting grown up, you know? So, I mean, but you think about that, and that's a pretty cool deal. It's a really cool deal. And then I think also on top of it, like, you know, the other end of the spectrum that I work on, the technology company, we do a lot of stuff with churches, and you're setting up things for, you know, almost every church now has live music or some sort of music that's
aside from the old traditional exactly. pipe organ and possibly a piano.
Exactly. So, you know, I just outside of the COVID thing, outside of the, you know, damages that have been done the last couple of days, physical damage, you know, we'll take a little step back, but I hope that we can just keep rock in this momentum that we have, because we're really at the precipice of, like, you know, I don't want to say exploding, but really cool opportunities come in.
And on that note, I mean, it's been great that we have seen so many bars, restaurants do the live music. A lot of them displaying people's artwork, too.
Yeah.
And it's just been such an, you know, having grown up in the area, moved to Sioux Falls about 20 years ago, but grew up in Rock Rapids and lived in Laverne and so forth. So around this region that we can consider the Sioux Empire. And, you know, growing up, it was like, ooh, the arena. That was about it.
Yeah.
You know, there were some other small things. You had the Orpheum, you know, the Coliseum, but they weren't that big. They were a little bit more specialized events.
Yeah.
Now we got a pavilion. We've got the Denny. We've got the Orpheum has improved. So Empire Community Theater has come so far over the past few years. The Levitt.
The Levitt.
And all these different things. And so it's been so fun to watch this just explode. And as we mentioned earlier, you know, there are people that are making a living, making their livings off of the arts and entertainment. But there's also more people now getting paid on the side as side gigs, gig economy and so forth as well. I think of a group that I'm very fond of, Good Night Theater Collective, and what they've been able to do to take people that are still, many of them still perform with Sioux Empire Community Theater. They're in other groups, but, you know, they've got something that they can make some money on by being in cabarets, by being in musicals and so forth.
Right.
We're getting all these different places that suddenly can, okay, so it's an experimental play. Well, we can seat about 30 in here.
Right.
But let's do it.
Right.
There's, and I've had it pointed out to me before on the show, is that there's really not a quote unquote competition.
I
pretty well, this community supports each other.
Right.
They go out to everybody else's shows. They come in and take a look at your gallery. They go to another gallery and so forth and support it all.
Yeah.
So what's been your impression then, not only from the art point as the artist, but then coming in and taking over Rayfeld's? What do you see happening here, and where's it going?
You know, I've joked a lot. My crystal ball's not working very good right now, but, you know,
at least you have one.
Right. Excuse me. You know, I think that, you know, from, I don't claim to be an economist, but from an economic point of view, you know, anytime a city grows past, you know, you've probably heard many of these, you know, theories, but once you get past a certain level, you can kind of count on sort of this continued growth. And once you have X amount of people, it can support this thing. And once you have this, you can support that thing. And you know, so I really think that the community as a whole, meaning the residents, the businesses that we have here, the leadership that we have as a whole, does a really good job of trying to be proactive and, you know, growing the community in a way that is proactive, because you can grow a community and like squash it. Right. So I think we do a good job of that. And I really, you know, one of the reasons, sorry, my voice is kind of getting all whacked out here, but, one of the reasons why I purchased Rayfeld's is because, you know, in my personal long range plan, I just see more and more and more of a need for that. And more of a following. And it goes to not just Rayfeld's, but you know, it's crazy how right now, if we talk about music, or I was just going to say something before about art galleries in Sioux Falls, and you had mentioned it, like there's art everywhere. I forget more things than I remember. You know, so we didn't talk about White Wall Sessions. We didn't talk about there's all these things, right? And just so where Rayfeld's is right now, just within basically a block, and I'll probably miss more things. But from an art perspective, you've got things at Coffee. You've got artists at Kalfea. You've got artists at Vishnu Bunny. You've got artists at Rayfeld's. You've got, there is, and I'm sorry, but I forget the name of it. She's right around the corner as you go toward Mama's Lotta. What's the place by the
brain's not firing right yeah. now on that one either.
And then you go on the other side of the block and you have JLG. They have artwork in there, you know? So, I mean, and that's one, basically one city block. And I guarantee I missed a ton of stuff.
And then, you know, one thing we haven't mentioned at all, Sculpture Walk.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right. How do you forget that? And the Arc of Dreams.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. There's just so many different things that have come along, and it's just, it's proud. It makes you proud to be here.
Yeah.
And from here.
Yeah.
And that's been fun. So when you're not running two businesses, what do you like to take in the arts and entertainment world around here?
You know, I love concerts. I love live music. I've got friends in bands, so I try to, you know, get out to see them. Obviously, most of that stuff is shut down now. I hate to admit it, but I'm, you know, with a couple businesses and other charity things. I'm on board of directors and stuff like that. So I don't get a ton of, like, personal free time. And sometimes when I do have personal free time, it's dedicated to making my own art. It's dedicated to, like, doing nothing at my house.
I was just gonna say, or rest.
Or yeah. Rest. Or it's dedicated to going home and trying to rip my house off the foundation by ripping up on the electric guitar, you know? So, I mean, and I've got a lot of hobbies. I was just out at a buddy's hunting farm for the weekend. We're riding motocross bikes and, you know, and shoot guns and, you know, just kind of be dumb kids, and it's fun. So, you know, I will, you know, First Fridays, I really miss First Fridays a lot, because if I was at a point with staff in the gallery where I could take a breather for a minute, I'll just go walk around. I'll go down to the Sioux Falls Arts Council. I'll go into Vishnu Bunny and see stuff there and get together with friends for a drink and go listen to, like, geez, now his name escapes me, Chris from totally blown it. There's the age.
Chris Sandberg?
No, from Corn the Fireflies.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, he'll invite me out. Hey, we're, you know, the drummer, mm-hmm. awesome musician. Hey, we're playing down at our wine bar, because they do, like, you know, jazz, just show up and play jazz down there. So I'll go down there, and I've actually got a couple kids in my neighborhood that, you know, quote unquote, Uncle Jerry. And one's a great drummer and good friend, you know, his parents are good friends of mine. So we'll go meet down there once in a while, and we'll get Connor up on the drum kit, you know, with Chris. And it's cool. It's, I mean, you know, I know stuff like that happens at other places as well, but how awesome is it where some goofball like myself can take your neighbors and a young kid, yeah. walk into a locally owned bar who's got a local musician night where people just get up and do whatever the heck they want. Very well, by the way.
True.
But do whatever they want, and the musicians are like, oh, hey Dave, you're here, let's get your kid up here to play in the truck. Like, it's mind-blowing.
Well, you know, that's the thing, so cool. the youth that are involved,
yes.
in arts now is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it used to be, I hate to kind of paint a broad brush, but in the Midwest, this was primarily sports country,
right?
Yeah. Not so much anymore. It's still prevalent. In fact, sports in many ways, entertainment.
Yeah.
It is. And there's an art to that as well.
Absolutely.
But when you can get kids that decide, you know what, this is an all right thing, because I'm not going to need hip surgery. I'm not going to need knee surgery in 40 years. And I can still play a trumpet. I can still, you know, paint. I can do whatever yet.
Yeah.
And to see that growing so much, you know, like the Dakota Academy of Performing Arts, Youth Symphony and so forth.
Right.
Just amazing stuff.
Yeah.
There was a young man that saw John Mogan had him play with them when they did the it was supposed to be a walk-by, but people stopped, and when they were doing an outdoor concert, after a lot of virtual stuff had been already going on, 10-year-old playing guitar and just shredding it.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
And so that has been so uplifting to see as well.
Well, and we so there's a couple high school kids. Actually, last year I actually helped her out with some some instrumentation and some equipment, stuff like that. But gal here in town went off to Berklee School of Music. Mm-hmm. How awesome is that?
That's incredible. You know,
we've got another gentleman who has been playing jazz and stuff like that. And I don't remember what school he's going to, but he just got accepted. And he's going off to a, you know, biggie wow music school. Amazing. And then from Rayfeld's perspective, I just got interviewed with Epicosity, who's a an ad agency in town. And they did this cool program for COVID where they, I think it was like $5,000 they gave to employees. And they could take, you know, 200 or 500 or whatever. And they would say, hey, as long as you spend it with a locally owned company, here's money. So one of the gals there chose Rayfeld's to purchase a gift certificate because she wanted artwork. But the real reason why she did it is because Rayfeld's in the past, which is definitely a tradition that I will continue with, is, you know, they had high school art shows. So I've been talking prior to COVID, we'll get back on it, but other gallery owners, Kellen Boyce and Angelica over at the Sioux Falls Arts Council, how can we take, you know, we've got amazing colleges here, post-secondary, we've got amazing high schools, maybe even younger than that. How do we take Rayfeld's, which I would, you know, I'm a little biased, but I would say one of the best, you know, art gallery in the city and maybe even in the state. And, you know, if you get a young person that is allowed to have their artwork in that space, That's a game changer. It's a boost for him. So the whole thing is like, how can we, and I'm not saying we'll get it done, but the conversations are started of how can we put things in place between the powers that be in the art world and have an actual ladder system step up. How do you go from doing things in high school to having a show, to being featured here, to being featured there, to being able to sell stuff, even if it's at a minimal time frame? But, you know, like, so I'll give you a little taste with the Arts Council. Hey, can we do a thing that promotes, you know, your child who's talented? If this goes well, maybe, you know, if you do with three or four of them, maybe one or two of them get space in Rayfeld's for a month or two to actually actively sell. If that happens, maybe then we transition to another gallery, or maybe they become, you know, like a longer, like a 6-month displaying artist or whatever. But how do we take them and give them the feel that it is actually a way to make a living and what they're doing is worth pursuing? Right? Because same thing happens when you're in the football team. Same thing happens when you're the, you know, debate person. If you can have a way to go from just hobby to actually seeing some fruits of your labor and building them up in the cool places. So I'm probably spewing too much information, but the point is we're trying to come up with a way to do that and use the tools that we have in Sioux Falls currently and hopefully more in the future and give those young kids a way to be involved in the upper echelon of our art community. So
final question, what are we missing in this community at this point for arts?
Man, I knew you were going to ask me that. I don't know. I hate to say this because everything's been proactive so far about, you know, we're growing. But I have a lot of friends that are musicians, and I'm a musician and a former musician in a band. And I hope that we get there. And you hit the nail on the head before. We're starting to see trickles of it where you can go play a gig on a weekend and actually get paid. And, you know, you're not talking to go make $1 million over the weekend, but like, hey, can I make $25 for my time to bring my stuff and set it up and entertain? And it's, you know, it can be more than that, but But that's one of the things that I think is missing. I think we have a lot of culture. I think we have a lot of following. We just need a little more people to have a little more, to have a little more flow going back in to that. And I hate to make it about money, but there is, you said it before, there's a lot of very talented people here. And, you know, if some of those people feel that they can't go make 50 bucks by playing out here on the patio on the weekend, maybe they go, screw it, I'll just stay home and watch the football game. Well, that's disheartening, you know? So we'll get there. I really think we'll get there. And, you know, I've had friends who said, man, you know, I've played in bands for years. I have friends who are our age that literally grew up, and when they were in high school and college, played in bands on the weekend, and that was their job, that they could make enough money
to go to school.
Yeah. You can't do that right now. Mm-mm. That's
otherwise sad. You're making a hell of a lot of money on a gig then, if right. You can afford college. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I certainly I'm with you because I think that this community just continues to thrive. I know there's varying degrees of thought on, you know, post-COVID, how we're going to come back, respond to it. But I just have a feeling there's this heart and soul to this community that wants it to.
Yeah.
And that's goal number one.
It. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think personally, I have a little bit of skepticism about, hopefully there's not like a big second round, and hopefully, you know, if we can get it under control without going too much longer, we're taking off like a rocket. It might be a slower rocket, but it's going to be a rocket. And it's a cool place to be.
Well, it was cool having you on the show, Jerry Cook.
Thank you.
Appreciate
sir.
It. Thank yeah. you so much. Best of luck to you down the road.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right.
And we'll be back to finish things up in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XO Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
All right, I'm going to let you know that, of course, tomorrow night, Friday night, I will be live hosting General Knowledge Trivia at the Sky Lounge in T. Looking forward to being back for that. Saturday night, looking forward to being back at Wood Grain Brewery in downtown Sioux Falls. Not because I drink a lot of beer, because most of you know I drink Jack Daniels. But my wife drinks some beer, our friends drink beer, and Wood Grain is another great supporter of local arts and entertainment. And our friends from 6 Feet Over will be playing live music at the Wood Grain Saturday night. And more things to come. Coming up Tuesday, it's going to be karaoke night at Books and Brews. So there you go. There's a few things on the horizon for you to take in. And, of course, we want you to take in all the past episodes, if you've not had a chance to do so. You can find those on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or at the Podbean app. And you can also go to DaveHollyHour.com. And there you'll find ways to listen to past shows on all the formats that we have, including another podcast that I have. And you might even find a few other interesting things. So make sure you take a look at DaveHollyHour.com. In the meantime, thank you so much for all of you that follow us on Facebook, that are also, you know, sharing anytime an episode comes up. You're commenting on it and so forth. It means so much to us. Thank you for all the times that you're downloading on Apple, Spotify, Podbean. And by the way, We're going to have a few interesting things coming up in the very near future that you'll want to stay tuned to, and as well, probably want to favor that, make it a favorite, the Dave Holly Hour website. Just letting you know, there might be some fun stuff you want to know about coming up. All right, that's going to do it for this week. Thanks again to Jerry Cook, Rayfeld's Art and Framing. Awesome time. We had such a blast recording that earlier in the week. In the meantime, stay safe and healthy. Remember, I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.